Now, I am joined in studio by Alison Gilliland, Labour candidate in the forthcoming local elections. Alison is standing in the Artain Whitehall constituency, which I think was Beaumont Dunamead at one stage. And
yeah, it was Beaumont Dunamead the last time, and then with the Boundary Commission, they split the ward down the middle along the Malahide Road, more or less, though they did leave Mask and Macaulay and St Brendan's in the area. And then they added on five new divisions up in Whitehall and Santry. So Lark Hill, Coolatree, Lorcan, Shanlis, Shantala, all of that has now come into the newly formed Artain Whitehall ward.
Can I just put it to you, Alison, before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, that looking at it, it's a sort of a stupid ward because there's a lot of it doesn't have connections with other parts of it.
Yeah, you've got the M1 there, the main Swords Road going into city centre splits it in half. And I suppose before, you know, there would have been connections before that road was built. It also covers and crosses over two general election constituencies. So you've Dublin Bay North, this side of the Swords Road M1, and then you've Dublin North West, the Santry Whitehall side. But we do our best now to bring them all in together. And what's interesting is in the North West area, we have the same area manager. So at least there'll be one person who will know both sides of the motorway when we're finished on the 24th of May.
And if we were to sit here and work out the rationale behind that, that would be the rest of the programme
exactly
gone.
Exactly, be gone.
Alison, a lot of people will be wanting me to ask you, why would anybody vote for Labour as they have been practically made irrelevant after the last general election?
Yes, I would agree that we suffered a dramatic loss of TDs in the last election in 2014 it was. But I think over the last years, you see, Labour works on the ground. I think people in Labour want to change things for the better. They don't want to be people in politics. They actually want to do things for the community. And I would be very much, I suppose, old-style Labour, the Sean Kenny trade unionist. Public services are really, really important for me. Community services, decent work. And I think people have seen over the years, when we look at the current government and the shenanigans between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and one propping up the other, that while there were mistakes we made in government, and I will absolutely put my hands up to that, we did hold the thing together so that our society could progress out of austerity. And a lot of those decisions we made, particularly with regard to employment, are now reaping the rewards. We see unemployment now has dropped back down to 4.5%, 5%. And a lot of that is because of Labour. And we did maintain a decent threshold there when it came to our welfare provisions and supports.
Yeah, and as you said, like a lot of your party colleagues paid the ultimate price in the 2016
yeah.
general election. I mean, it was the party leader, John Burton, only barely scraped in, and Alan Kelly similarly in Tipperary. We will park that because you know, and I was speaking earlier to Deirdre Heaney from Fianna Fáil, and it was a point I made to her. So to keep the thing very fair, I'll make the point to you as well, that a lot of people, when it comes to a local election, they associate more with the candidate than the party, whereas in the general election they will associate with the party first and then maybe the candidate. If they know them or they know the family or whatever, yeah, they will go with the candidate. But when it comes to the local elections, it's primarily the candidate. Party affiliations sometimes are forgotten.
Yeah, there is a trend to that. And what's interesting this time around, I suppose 5 years ago, we were in the throes of austerity. So a lot of the questions then were about national issues. And it was very much identifying with the party because of what was going on in government. But over the years, I've seen the change whereby it's now Alison, as opposed to, oh, you're the Labour Party person. And the more you get to know people and constituents get to know their local election or the local councillors, there is that familiarity builds up because we're dealing with very local issues. We are dealing with the lights outside or the trees or the local community centre. Now, we would, I suppose, support locals on the bus routes issue, which is, I suppose, a greater Dublin issue.
And you're talking about the bus
connects. Bus connects, yeah. I would have held meetings on that. The development of local lands, while subject to national planning regulations, are still very local issues for the people in the area. So they do become familiar with you and with, I suppose, your local updates, being on Near FM every now and then and keeping people up to date with what's happening in their own backyards.
Well, on behalf of Near FM, I have to thank you because you are a regular here, and very, very rarely, if we look for you, that you say no. And if you do, it's generally because there's something more pressing on at the time. So for that, we express our thanks
to
you.
No, I love coming on.
I suppose the ultimate question that anybody in my position can ask you is something that I don't know if we ever asked it even on the doorstep, but I'll ask it anyway now. Why, if I'm living in this electoral area, should I vote for Alison Gilliland?
I'm very much a doer. I like to walk my own walk instead of talking the talk. Maybe that's a gender thing, maybe it's just a me thing, but it was one of the lessons I learned very early on in the council, where there was a lot of talk and I'd be there proposing solutions to difficulties or problems we had in the particular area. And I learned very quickly that it takes time actually to get people warmed up to looking at solutions. So I am very solution driven. I love working with people, with local communities to get things done. And I do take my role very, very seriously. If somebody asks me on the doors, listen, I'm not really happy with the council that didn't come around, and there was the other day, the lampposts haven't been painted. So, and actually they hadn't. So I take a photo of it and I'll send it in and I will follow it up. I'm quite determined to get things done, even though sometimes the council, I remember an official saying to me once, councillor, sometimes the answer is no. And I will absolutely go to the nth degree to get around obstacles to get things done for people. So I think that's one of my characteristics and one of the reasons why people should vote for me.
Alison, again, looking at this, and no more indeed than Deirdre Heaney's constituency, the Clontarf one, yours with Artane Whitehall, it's a pretty diverse constituency or ward, I suppose is the correct term to use for local elections. Give me three of the main problems from one end of it to the other.
There's a generic problem across, well, the entire area, not just our ward, but Clontarf and Donegal, with antisocial behaviour. We're seeing a lot of young people hanging about, intimidating people.
Is it going back to what it was like in the 80s?
I'm not sure what the reason for it is. There's an interesting project on out in Talla whereby they're creating local community hubs for young people that they can drop in, maybe have a can of Coke and chat with their friends or sit down and do their phones, that there is a space for young people instead of being out hanging about. I suppose they're in that in-between phase where they're being allowed out that little bit later, but there's nothing really for them to do. Maybe you and I in our day, we went to the local disco or you know, the non-alcoholic disco, and there doesn't seem to be that there. So I think that's something we need to look at with regard to establishing more activity for the teens, late teens, so that they feel they can have a space to come together and they're part of the community. That's one thing. We can't ignore housing in this area. We have one of the longest social housing lists in Dublin. Now, we do have developments that are in train. We've the Lawrence Lands. We've just outside the door here is going to be on site next month. We're regenerating Crumcastle Court. There's a few other smaller sites around the area. But again, it's pushing that and making sure that they deliver.
What's the latest with the Lawrence site? I was asked to ask you that.
Yeah, they had what's called expressions of interest to develop on the site, and the council would have sat down with six developers, sort of consortiums, looking at design, build and manage. So they've narrowed that down to five and they've issued a specific tender to those five consortia. And we hope by the end of August that a decision will be made on that. There's then a month cool off period, which hopefully prices won't have gone up or, you know, the landscape won't have changed so that we don't have to go back and go to number two then. And if the consortia sign on the dotted line, then we're into planning permission phase. Now, we have a big argument with regard to disposal. When do we dispose of it? How are we going to do that? I'm going to a meeting this Thursday in City Hall where we're looking at the criteria for the affordable purchase scheme that we'll have up on that site. But I suppose, being optimistic, we're looking at cranes in the sky this time next year, all going well.
And I suppose it was a question I should have asked you at the very beginning. For the listeners who aren't familiar, can you just explain where that Lawrence Land is?
It is, if you drive up the Oscar Traynor Road heading from the Malahide Road to Santry, it's on the left-hand side just before that flyover, opposite Woodlawn, Alden Grange and Santry Court, and at the back of Lorcan Crescent and Castle Tymon.
And it's a sight I'm familiar with because I drive by it every day. How are you going to get traffic in and out of it?
That is the big problem. And I managed to get a motion through council a couple of months ago asking Dublin City Council to take responsibility and draw up an infrastructure and connectivity plan. The developer is not going to do it. They're going to present us with a plan, but they're not going to manage the traffic and the transport links in the wider area. One of the solutions or part solutions that I put forward is that we would CPO some land at the back of Clonshock Industrial Estate and build a road that would link Clonshock Industrial Estate out onto the R139 or the old N32, that you could take some pressure off the Oscar Traynor Road, that those vehicles going into the industrial estate might be able to exit from the rear of the estate. But it is the biggest difficulty we're going to have, trying to accommodate people living in Lorcan, in Castle Tymon, so we don't have rat running or excessive traffic going through there. And that the people in Woodlawn, Alden Grange, Santry Court, and where I live myself, Larch Hill, don't feel hostage in their own houses and can't get out.
Yeah, because that is the one thing that struck me looking at that site, because it is quite a substantial site.
And it's very big and it's very constrained. Now, there is a little pathway down the back that was sort of set aside for a bus rapid transit, but that has now been scrapped. Now, I think we knew that was going to happen. So there is the possibility that we'd be able to have perhaps an exit road onto the main Swords Road down there. Again, it's trying to get as many entrances and exits to perhaps spread the traffic around. We also need proper public transport. When you think that we don't have a bus that either goes from that site up to Omni, which is one of your main shopping areas, or down to Northside, we've a difficulty. And if you don't provide good public transport, people are going to get into their cars.
Yeah, we already had this discussion this morning with Green Party candidate for the European elections, Ciarán Cough. So we've okay, now that's put to bed as far as this discussion is concerned, because I was curious about that. All right, there are the issues. What are the solutions in your eyes?
The solution, one of the solutions, there's no silver bullet to any of this. With regard to the antisocial behaviour, like there's a decision has to be made at national government with regard to where they deploy new graduates coming out of Temple Moor. And we have been very lucky. We've got 10 new ones in Santry and we're hoping to get more in Coolock. I think from a councillor perspective, we need to ramp up the number of activities that we have in our local community centres. We have a fantastic community centre up the road there in Kilmore. We have the Artane Beaumont Recreation Centre. We've Glynn. We have spaces around the area. We want to work with parents and parents groups that we can have activities for those young people. And maybe like little youth cafes. Sphere 17 is a great example of what a community can do when they work with young people. With regard to the lands, it's very much insisting that the council do that traffic and transport connectivity plan. With regard to public realm, is you know, I've people on to me about litter, dog fouling, that they don't mow the green areas properly. Again, it's making representations on behalf of the people and pushing the council to perhaps increase their standards when it comes to contractors. It's one of the issues myself and the Labour Party have been working on the council over the last couple of years, is trying to have the council do more with council staff, increase staff so that we ourselves are doing it instead of outsourcing to contractors who ultimately are not supervised. Unless I make a complaint about the grass over there at Barry Court Road, which is cut appallingly badly, nothing really happens. And then I'm told, yeah, we do supervise it, but like, you just know yourself. So it's pushing those policy issues. And very much, I don't know if you've had anyone in from either SIP2Force or the CWU, the More Power To You campaign, about increasing local democracy and increasing the reach of our local authorities. And I would very much support that, that we have a very dynamic, a very progressive local authority.
Can I put it to you, Alison, particularly, and I will probably get into a world of trouble for saying this, that a lot of the people who are giving out about litter in the area are the people who are actually creating the litter themselves.
Yeah, and that is it. Like, they talk about the council not emptying bins, the council not cleaning up. It is people who drop litter. And if we sort of park the fly tipping aspect, like even driving down here on the footpath, there's crisps bags, there's cigarettes, and it is, people are going to have more respect for their local environment. Now, as somebody who has taught, you can argue that we should be teaching that in schools, but my argument is it needs to be taught at home and needs to be practiced in your own back garden. And perhaps we need a few more litter wardens that will find people on the spot. And I think no more than the guards driving around in the squad cars and being visible, it does have a deterrent effect on young people and not so young people who drop litter.
Yeah, because, I mean, it takes very little
to pick up after you.
Correct. But also, it takes very little when you move the barometer the other way, to turn the place into a, if you'll pardon the expression, a tip.
Yeah, and you can see that. I was in Japan a couple of years ago and I was absolutely astounded by the cleanliness of the streets, the parks, the green areas, and they do not have one litter bin. No public litter bins at all, not even in train stations. They take it home with them and they dispose of it in an environmental friendly way. So it is a culture. And I think we really need to grapple that. No more than environmental climate change, we have to look after our environment, and that includes litter.
Yeah, and I think that maybe if we started at the local level, one street at a time maybe is the way to go as opposed to country. Alison, any other issues that you think are unique to your ward? And I suppose we have covered the housing aspect, which to me, and I think you'll probably agree with me, is a problem across the board for every ward.
Absolutely. Right?
And I think from the volume, and it must be into the hundreds at this stage, that I have done in relation to this issue, there is only one solution, and that's start building.
Build. I think we have to be very careful as well. I'm seeing too many build to rent applications in. We have the Chivers one in now for the old Chivers site. And that's very much excluding people from purchasing their own home, because it is only for rent. And there's nothing wrong with renting. We all go through a period of time that we would rent. But I think when it comes to having families and settle down, people want to have either their own home or a very secure tenancy. But I'm beginning to get very concerned that this is the new way now of building houses. And it's not for the generic population. It is to make profit for those who own it. That's one thing. The other thing I think we need to look at in our area is cycle lanes, particularly with regard to traffic congestion, giving people options. There are no proper cycle lanes around our area. It's not safe to cycle. And one of the things I want to push for if I'm elected next time around is that the Dublin Bike Scheme is extended beyond the 200 metres between stations, I would love if there was a bike station up on the green there at the top of the Oscar Traynor, because I would actually use it to commute into town where I work. And I think we need to look at it less as going to short distances and more as supporting people to go longer, commuting into town, for example, to make it easy. Particularly if you live in an apartment complex, you may not have a storage, you may not be able to carry it up the three flights of stairs. And when you get into town, it's nice to have that standard bike stand that is Dublin Bikes to just to leave it there and pick it up from wherever you need to pick it up on the way home.
Yeah, well, anything, as somebody who commutes it twice a day, every day, that alleviates and eases the traffic on the Oscar Traynor, I'm all in favour of it. Because, as they say, you rear a family on it some days, you're there that long.
Yes,
it's crazy, it's absolutely ridiculous, you know. And, I mean, woe betide if it's bad weather.
Yes.
You could bring the blow up bed. Alison, I'm going to close out because the clock has beaten us, but I will, in the interest of fairness, and it's the way I've conducted all these interviews, I will ask you to remind people of when the elections are on, what time the polls are open, and registering and ensuring that you're capable of voting, or that you're entitled to vote.
You can check voter.ie to see if you're registered, and if you have a MyGov ID, you can actually change your address or register on that. If you can't, get in touch with me and I send you out a reg form. They have to be returned to the local authority by next Tuesday the 7th of May. So polling date is Friday the 24th of May. We have Europeans, a referendum and the locals. The polling stations open at 7 a.m. and they close at 10 p.m. Bring your voting card and some sort of ID with you.
Alison Gilliland, thank you so much indeed. Labour candidate in the Artane Whitehall ward for the upcoming local elections.